will become flesh and will find place in our lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus, that every facet of our lives, that your word will touch. My Lord and my God, let there be a turnaround. Lord Jesus, bring order into it, O Lord. Bring control into it, O Lord. Let every area of our life be subject to the control of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't intend to continue on the announcement, but there's one thing that I forgot to mention to us in regards to the course. When the man of God comes, we have to give him some honorarium. Those of us who were there last year, you know how much we gave him? Can you remember? We gave him $2,000. And as you know, Australian dollar has fallen. So to get 2,000 Australian, 2,000 US now, So I just want us to, I'm saying all these things so we can factor it into our giving towards this program, And of course, there will be, other things. By the grace of God, we are going to be looking at the creative word of God. Creative word of God. Just before I go into it, I'm not sure how many of us follow the news. First thing I want to remind us is this: look, when our brother came and gave the testimony of their daughter's birthday, some of us we need to appreciate this in this country. Appreciate all this testimony. When we look at, I don't know if you've been reading the news, there was this family in Thornley. This woman had gone shopping, came back, removed things from her trolley and was taking the kids. And here was this young man that works in the mines with his V8. He was just driving and overtook, another car and just tumbled, somersaulted a few times and just went to right in their house where this woman was unpacking and just knocked off her daughter straight away like that. It's not because she's been careless. She was right in her house. So that we just need to be giving thanks to God because he's a faithful God. The other thing I want to talk to us about is this. I don't know how many of us have been following the news regarding, there's a G20 meeting in New York or so. And they came out, and George Bush, I don't know if you listen to George Bush's address, he said, look, he said, what's happening is not a failure of free market. He said that. It's not the system that's at fault. He said, the problem is the way it is being operated. And most governments are calling for control. They say, look, put some control mechanism in the working process of the finance. Why am I telling us this? As soon as I heard that, and I God just said to me, it's not just finance. He said, the failure of the monetary system is not a failure of the system itself, but is the failure of morality of man. It's the failure of greed. Is greed manifested? And every other aspect of our lives, when we lose focus on God, what's going to happen? There's going to be chaos. There's going to be disorder. And that's what we are seeing. The system we are taught is all perfect and will operate perfectly well. People have thought it through. They think, look, it's better than this. It's better than other systems. And it's failing. Because of what? Because of man's imperfection. People just know that they can, they know they can amass wealth. Those of us from Nigeria will know what I'm talking about. We used to have one president who is late now. The workers demanded for an increase in pay. And what they were actually asking for, if you convert it to, say, Australian dollars, some of them were asking for maybe, at the most, not even up to $20 increase at that time. I'm talking about Abacha. $20 increase per month. And he said there was no money in government coffers. When he died, they traced more than $6 billion to him. And that money was much more than, you know, half of that money would have paid those workers or given them that entitlement. That is the greed of man. The moral failure. That's what it does. You know? So, we are demanding regulations. So, also, every other aspect of our lives demands regulation. And I can tell you, and I've thought about it, things cannot continue the way they are going. Something will have to happen. Either we self-destruct, or we do something to ourselves. You know? If we continue going this way, that's where we'll have to retrace our steps. And I believe that the children of God have been positioned to be at the forefront of the changes that will come. I'm conscious of time. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 to 5. We all know it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This is one of the most basic scriptures that we all started with. That we know, you know, how God created heaven and earth. And as I ponder over some of the things that have been happening, God just ministered to me to share this with you. The fact that there was a beginning, and of course you agree with me that this beginning is different from the beginning in John 1:1. Which is the beginning of beginning itself. This is the beginning of creation when God decided to create the earth. I mean, to create the things in the earth. We are talking about, you see, the period prior to that creation is what some people refer to as the angelic dispensation. When you read from Ezekiel and so on, that was when, you know, I mean, Satan was still an angel before God and he had to be cast out and so on. That was before creation, you know. Some of the things, the scripture gives us a glimpse of some of the things that were happening before then. And then, a time came when God decided to create the world, I mean, Adam, and beginning of another era. So there was a beginning to everything. And the Bible makes us to understand that everything was in a confused state. If you read some versions of the Bible, it actually says it was empty, that is void. And some versions will tell you that it was like in turmoil. In turmoil, everything was scattered. There was no order. And God said, the Bible said, in the beginning. So, a time came when God decided that something different has to happen. In the book of Esther, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, King Ahasuerus got to a point in his life that he said something different has to happen. He said, bring the book of remembrance. Let's look at those who have done great in the kingdom so we can recognize them. Just like God got to a point and said, look, this void, this calamitous place, this disorganized place, something has to be done. God will look at your life this morning. And he will make a new beginning in your life in Jesus' name. Just like they opened the book of remembrance concerning Mordecai. and said, those who have done good in the land, open the Chronicles, the book of memorial, to remember the good that people have done. God will remember you in Jesus' name. You see, where there is confusion, that is where you have the work of darkness. When there was disorganization, darkness prevailed. Until God said that something has to be different. Every darkness in your life will come to an end today in Jesus' name. The only area of creation that I want to emphasize today is the area of order. The first thing that God did when he was going to create was that he started to bring some order into a rather chaotic situation. If you look at the Bible, what the Bible actually says, well, it said the Spirit of the Lord hovered. Some versions say it fluttered. You know, in other words, it was there. It was just shaking. It was vibrating. It was just fluttering there. It wasn't doing anything. It was just fluttering. The Spirit of God was fluttering, was just hovering over the earth, was just hovering. And something happened. God spoke. God will speak to your life in Jesus' name. Let's open to Psalm 103, verse 20. No wonder, you see, we like to say we have the Spirit of God. And I can tell you that the Spirit of God is not far away from every creation of God, because God loves the creation of his hand. That is why the Bible said God looked at what he has done and said it is good. When God created us, he looked at us and said it is good, it's wonderful, it's a perfect thing that I've done. And that is why the Spirit of God goes with us. But you know what? For so many lives, the Spirit of God simply flutters around. The Spirit of God is immobilized. He's there. He's watching the situation in some lives, but he's not able to do anything about it. The Spirit of God wants to intervene on behalf of the people, but it's not released to go out there to do something. The Spirit of God is held captive. It's not able to intervene on our behalf. Because there are some things that need to happen for the Spirit of God to have the freedom to do what God wants him to do in your life. In Psalm 103, verse 20, what does it say? It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, and do his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering and was fluttering. Nothing happened until the word of God came. Until the word of God take dominance and preeminence in our life, the Spirit of God will hover and will not be able to do things. If our destiny is going to change, we have to allow the word of God to rule and reign and dominate. We have to make ourselves subject to the word of God. That is what releases the power of God. That is what releases the glory of God. That is what releases the Spirit of the Lord. He said, he hovered. He was just fluttering. He was there. Couldn't do anything. There was chaos. There was chaos. There was confusion. Until God spoke. I say God will speak to your life today in Jesus' name. So when we allow the Spirit of God to reign in our lives, it loosens the Spirit of God. When we allow the Word of God to reign, that is what allows, you know, it gives the Spirit of God permission. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. I will try not to rush. I know I will also try not to take our time. I know we still have to clean the church and members of the management committee manage the toilet. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are conscious of that we still have to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Where the word of God is, that is where the power of God is. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. When you allow the word of God to gain entrance, the Spirit of God has a free reign there. The first thing that God did was to bring order. He brought order. And that is why you see that the sign of true salvation in a man's life marks the beginning of a new order, an orderliness in the life of that person. I don't know. Some of us were really very good kids. Some of us used to listen to our parents as kids very well. You know, whatever, if daddy said sit there, you sit there. If mommy says sleep, you go to bed. If they say do this, you do that. You are lucky. I was never like that. I was never really like that. I would try. Look, I used to have a cousin. You know, this my cousin really liked me very well. And I went to, you know my secondary school. And so those of us who know GSS Ilorin, that road from the main road that goes to Kulende, that road that goes to NTA Ilorin, to what do you call that place, that village? Yes, at that time it was not tarred. So what we would do is this. In the evening, I had some friends who they are well placed, they had bicycles and so on. So we'll go to the cutters and take their bike and ride. That my cousin liked me very well. He would come to our school and give me things. So one day, he was riding on a bike. He was in the poly. As he was riding on a bike and coming back, he saw me on a bike, you know, with my hands off. And when I was riding and doing this, that was the last time he visited me. That was the last time he came to give me things. He didn't realize what kind of person I was, you know, as a child. But I'm telling you something. What marks the beginning of the presence of God in somebody's life is that there is order. It changes the disorder in your life and brings orderliness to it. I'm not talking about doing routines. I'm not talking about tradition. I'm talking about having a central core of principles that guides you, from which you cannot stray from. After all, the Bible says, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a new order. Why would there be a new order? Because a different person now rules. Jesus becomes the master. That's what we read in Romans. He said, the Bible said, to whom you yield yourself to obey, the servants of who you are. Previously, we were slaves to sin, but now we are slaves unto righteousness. There will be a new order. That is how you, and that is why, you know, somebody cannot come to Christ and continue to do the same thing they used to do and tell me they are born. Anywhere you go and people tell you, look, nothing needs to change. That all of, I mean, you see, the grace of God covers you. You don't have to be, nothing needs to be different. You just come there and so on. Look, I tell you, that is not the gospel. The gospel brings about a change. And it will bring about a change in your life in Jesus' name. And God himself shows order. In fact, he has priorities. The Bible makes us to understand that God honors his word more than his name. So he even has priority. In other words, what are the word of God? The word of God is the principle of God. That he states, this is the way I operate. And the Bible tells us that he honors his principles more than he honors his name. That same God has not changed. That God has not changed. You know what? When the word of God enters into a man's life, it begins to order everything about the man's life. In fact, it begins to order our emotions. It has the ability to even order our emotions. Do you know what? Some people live in a kind of emotional roller coaster. When the word of God comes and take preeminence in our lives, as Christians, we will not be touchy anymore. Do you know that there are some Christians you are even afraid to tell the truth? for fear of how they might react. There are some Christians you are afraid to even share with for fear of how they might react, of how they might take it. Somebody may come to you for advice and you know that this is the proper thing to say and you are afraid to say it. But when God begins to order our emotion, we become temperate. That's what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22. Temperance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. He brings order to our emotion. And then there's predictability. People can say for sure, look, this is a child of God. When you go to him, this is what is going to happen. The level of sensitivity that we often display, you wonder if we allow the word of God to reign in our lives. When we allow the word of God to reign, this is the place where we should free the most, we should be the freest. I'm not just talking about this church here, I'm talking about in the midst of the children of God. That should be the place where we feel free. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. I've been reading it in King James Version, and I've never really understood it let me look at it. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. It's better read in other versions, different from King James Versions. King James Version says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. But read it from other versions if you have it. Proverbs 12, verse 16. Okay. Okay. Yes. That's 16. Other versions? A prudent man does what? Overlooks an insult. Praise the Lord. We think it's foolishness when we don't react to things. That is not. Another version? Praise the Lord. When was the last time you ignored an insult? When was the last time I ignored an insult? That you know is an insult. Amplified Version says, a fool's wrath is quickly and openly known, but a prudent man ignores an insult. People will think you are not wise. You are wise. You are the wise one. Because the word of God has touched your life. There is order in your life. You know what? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and 21 to 21 says, it talks about the works of the flesh. But if you look at the works of the flesh there are 17 of them. And 9 of those are what? Are emotions. Because that is one of the areas where the enemy plays around with the children of God. You know what? The spirit of envy will not come to you and say, I'm the spirit of envy. I want to borrow your body and use you today. He's not going to do that. What he's going to do is this. When this man does 100 things, 99 of them are good. You only see the bad one there. Is that not what it will do? It will never come to you. In fact, you know what? Scientists now know. Psychologists will tell you something. Or maybe I would better talk about Sigmund Freud. There's a man called Sigmund Freud. He used to say something that we used to dispute, but now we know better. Because when you look at the way he said man developed, basically he said, by the age of 4, you are already made. And people will argue and say something. But what we know is this, and people are now saying, scientifically what we know is that by the age of 4, an individual's personality is almost made. And somebody said what? The rest part of our lives, we spend learning how to disguise our true feelings. Yes. You will see people are basically what they used to be as a child. What happens is this, as they grow older, you know, as a child, when you want to eat, you know, you just say, "Mommy, I want to eat," and you throw tantrums and things like that. But as an adult, you come in hungry, and you get home, there's no food there. You may not necessarily throw tantrums, eh? But you just show it in other ways. It's like, "You're welcome." You know, we're learning to disguise. Someone said we're learning to lie, you know, from the age of 4. That is what our frontal lobe is meant to do. But the word of God can bring order to our emotion and change our lives for good. And he will do it in Jesus' name. I will give you an example. When Jesus' friend died, Lazarus, I'm sure we all know John 11:35. Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus went there and wept. So he had all this feeling all along. But even during the course of making it to Lazarus, where he was buried, he still had time to do other things. If he did not have his emotion in check, he wouldn't have been able to keep the focus. I'm not talking about people who don't have feelings. You know what? We all have feelings. It is what we do with our feelings that is important. It is the word of God that gives security, that makes us feel secure in ourselves. It brings an order, an assurance. Sometimes, as Christians, we care too much about what people say about us. We do. Maybe you don't, okay? But me, in fact, at a point in time, I used to a lot. When I want to do something, I want to make sure that nobody has something bad to say about it and so on. And I, you know, I just want to, I get worried. What will people think? What will people say? But there's a man, Cardinal Newman, and I've said this to us before. He said, a man will do nothing if he waits until he does it so well that no one will find fault with what he has done. We care so much. What will people say about me? You know what? I was sharing with somebody the other time. I said, let me tell you, Jesus, during his time, was the most controversial figure. And even now, he's still the subject matter. He's still the most controversial figure. I'm telling you that. If he's not the most controversial figure, why do we have so many Christian denominations? It's simply because we cannot agree on what exactly he meant by this and by that and by so and by so and by so by so by so. So we have to start our own. Because we understand him better than the other person. So. And then, even between Christianity and other religion, Jesus is not the Son of God. He's the Son of God. But for you and I, we know that he is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Praise the Lord. I know whom I believe. I will magnify the Lord. Let every area of our lives magnify God. Let's stop worrying about what people will say. I've come to a point I realize it doesn't matter anymore. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. Some people, before they even meet you, they've made up their minds. What you say means nothing. Honestly, talking, you are wasting your time trying to convince them. Because they already come with preconceived ideas. Isaiah 50:7-8. Isaiah 50, verse 7 and 8. What does it say? We have to come to a point and just know whom we are serving. He said, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me." It's the Lord that will justify you. Let's stop self-justification. After all, nobody can read intentions. The Bible says the heart of a man is desperately wicked. Look, let me even tell you something. Do you know that you may not be able to read your own intention? Am I right or wrong? That sometimes you may not even be able to read your own intentions. Those of us who our elementary knowledge of psychology, you will remember something called defense mechanisms. Yes, defense mechanisms. It's all about how to protect yourself from anxiety, the realities of your life. That's what it's all about. You don't want to be faced with it. That's why those defenses come up. You remember sublimation. You remember displacement. You remember projection. All those things. People say that one of the reasons that Africans, particularly people from Nigeria, don't get depressed is because we use a lot of projection. We are never wrong. It's always the other person who is wrong. Oh, yes, you remember stories of people who, in those days, they would come home, they said they were driving home, and suddenly, you know, the road just turned into about 7. They didn't know which one to go. And they took one and they went into a ditch. What happened? The guy went out and he got drunk. And he was driving drunk. And then they blamed the mother in the village that he was the one who did it. It's projection. I used to have a cousin who would come home and tell the dad. He said, "Look," he said, "I saw flashes." He said, "People I was working with, they were the one doing it to me. That they didn't like me." And the parents would be running helter-skelter. It was later on I understood. We got talking. He then told me, he said, "Look, in those days I used to smoke marijuana. Why would he not see lights?" No, I'm telling you. You don't even know your intentions. Because the mind is twisted. Oh yes, it runs away from anything that will cause it discomfort or anxiety. And so it has to present it in a nice way to itself. You won't believe how much we lie to ourselves sometimes. But you know what? It's the word of God that makes the difference. We have the option of either looking at things from the perspective of the world and run by the things of the flesh. Or we have the option of looking at things from the perspective of Jesus. The Bible says, He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's our choice. Stop caring what people say about you. What did they not say about Jesus? In Mark chapter 3, verse 20 downwards, His friends, people who are supposed to know Him, they were the one who said He was insane. Look at other versions. They said He was actually insane. Please get hold of Him. Bundle Him and take Him. And then thereafter, the scribes came and said, "Look," they said, "that man, all the thing he's doing is fake. Oh, it's fake. He's using Beelzebub to cast out demons. The chief of demons is what he's using to do his works." Let's open to Psalm 27, verse 3. Jesus is our security. When He comes, He brings order. Do you know what? Justin said something earlier on this morning. He talks about some of the trouble that people go through because of their experiences with their family and friends. So when it comes to God, we relate to God that same way. We are so much afraid to even call Him daddy. God will bring order to such lives in Jesus' name. You see, when order comes from above, there will be forgiveness. You know what I tell people? I say, look, parenting is not like cookbook. There's no recipe for parenting. Please, please understand, some parents are wicked. Some people who born their children, like the man who put his daughter in the house for years and abusing him. I mean, that is, you know. But I'm talking about parents who genuinely want to help but don't even know how to help. And the way they pass it across is not palatable to their children. And grudges start from there, you know. Lifelong grudges start from there. But I tell people, I say, parenting is not like cookbook. When you want to cook something, they say, add 1 teaspoonful of sugar, 1 teaspoonful of salt, and do this and mix for 30 minutes and so on. Well, that the way you raise your children, Pastor Barbara? Which book did you read? Praise the Lord. There is no formula. Parents make mistakes. We do. But when the word of God comes to in life, it allows us to forgive. It repairs what has been broken. God will bring order to every family here in the mighty name of Jesus. It's the word of God that gives us integrity, because it brings order. When we feel secured, we'll have integrity. When we feel insecure, there will be no integrity. Because we will speak and do based on what the word of God tells us to do. Now, just before I go, let's look at Psalm 27 verse 3. We're talking about security. He said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Justin was saying earlier on this morning, he said, we haven't been beaten yet. We haven't gone to prison yet. It's only talk, and we are afraid. We haven't started. God will take us to that place that he wants us to be in Jesus' name. You see, when the word of God brings order into a home, you will know. You will know. I've shared with us before how somebody said, he said, anything that has two heads, what do you call it? A monster. Anything. If you suddenly see a man now with one head sprouting out, you say it's a monster. A lot of times, the context, the confusion that pervades our home is monstrous. But when we allow the word of God to be it all and end it all and the final arbiter, when we come together and we look at the word of God and it becomes the final arbiter. Because, you know what? A monster can only produce a monster. We have to look at the impact of our lives and behavior and everything we do upon the coming generations. A monster home will produce a monster child. But that will not be our case in the mighty name of Jesus. The peace of God will reign. The first thing of creation was order. Have you ever seen the hand not obeying the brain? Or the leg not obeying the brain? I'm sure you've seen it before. Eh? You've seen Huntington's chorea. You've seen people with Huntington's chorea. Good. You see, one hand is going this way, and I'm not trying to, you know, everything is in disorder. If we say Jesus is the head of the church, then let's do what Jesus says. Because when we don't do it, it's going to be like Huntington's chorea. The hand will go one way, the leg will go one way, the tongue will go one way, the neck will go one way. There's going to be disorder. You see, such a person, do you know what happens? When somebody who has that kind of disease want to move from here to there, the amount of energy they expend, because each part is moving differently, the amount of energy they expend will be Say to move from here to there will be something you need to use for a whole day. Because there is no order. God will bring order to our lives in Jesus' name. The other thing, lastly, is that when the order comes through the word of God, it separates. It separates. What did God say? He separated the day from the night. He separated darkness from light. The word of God cannot come into us and we will not be separate. It's not possible. Because when the word of God comes, it separates automatically. It is not you who wants to separate. Some of the things that mean so much to you now will not mean, honestly, they will mean so much less. It separates. It automatically separates you. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, where we read. Because as soon as the word came, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Immediately, the word of God separated. The word of God will separate you in Jesus' name. It will mark you for a difference. Look, it will separate you in blessing. It will separate you in promotion. It will separate you, you know, in uprightness. It will separate you in righteousness. The word of God separates because it's a refining fire. When it has been in a life and is the chief operator in a life, that life must be different. When you depend upon Him, because the word separates, your own things will be different. Somebody may have to do something for 6 months and you do it for 1 month and you get results. You may produce the same thing with someone else and when people come and look at your own, the favor of God will be upon your own because the word of God has separated you. That same word of God was what separated the children of Israel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in a foreign land. That word is the empowered word of God. You know what? When we allow the word of God, it brings, you know, not only separate, it brings order to every facet of our lives, including our health. That's the last bit we'll just read. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. It will bring order to our health. I don't know. Doctors may have told you things. I don't know what you are going through, either emotionally, physically, even financially, materially. I don't know what state you are in. But one thing I can tell you, that when the word of God comes, it brings order to that area of your life. If you haven't gotten a revelation of what the word of God can do concerning that part of your life, go into your Bible and have a look at it. The day you catch a revelation of that thing, I'm telling you that God will bring order to that area of your life. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That word, when you find it, when you find the word that suits your situation, it says what? It becomes life. It becomes health to your body, to your flesh, the physical part of you. God cares about the physical part of you as well. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Bless God have his way. Let the word of God have his place. And the only way we can know that the word of God has his place is when we begin to do those words. When God speaks and we do them. That is how God, the word of God, begins to take preeminence. And order will come. and order will come to our lives. Can we just rise up, please? Can we just rise up? It is hell to those who find them. It is life to those who find them, and health to their flesh. The word of God is health to your flesh today. Please, if you've been sick, today is our healing service. If you have been unwell in any area of your life, the word of God will bring order. You know, this morning, as we had our morning devotion, there was this testimony of a woman who had no womb, and she gave birth to twins because she was pregnant outside her womb and carried it to term. The word of God is able to create. The word of God is able to create. The Bible says he called those things that be not as though they were. If you are sick in your body and you want to be prayed for, please come out. Our time is fast spent. Let us pray for you now. The word of God brings order.